following program is in no way representative of the high-quality programming usually heard on the Maverick Radio Network. The views expressed and fishing techniques demonstrated are not endorsed by this station. The following is not a news broadcast. Crazy. Wild and crazy.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Five Count.
Here it is.
It's a show that everyone loves.
Yeah, it's a show, all right.
A show of respect.
Yeah, show me some respect, why don't you?
All right, fine.
I'm sick of this.
Jeez. Hey, it's big doings tonight.
Fancy dancy show lined up for tonight.
It's going to be wild and crazy here on the program.
Is it really?
Let me tell you something. There is this show, and it has all these great things happening on it every week. It's called The Five Count. What do you know?
That's it.
There it is.
There's a show. What do you mean? Like, what kind of great stuff?
Well, do you remember the television show from the early 90s on Nickelodeon called Wild and Crazy Kids?
I was on it.
You were on that show?
I created that show. No, I know all about that show, yes.
Well,
of course.
Tonight on The Five Count, we will be joined by not one, but two special guests. And they are Wild and Crazy Kid alumni.
Awesome!
It'll be awesome.
That is pretty cool.
We have Jessica Gaines.
Jessica Gaines, and your favorite.
And Donnie Jeffcoat.
Donnie Jeffcoat. That guy, Dusty, let me just say, Dusty has been trying to become pals with Donnie Jeffcoat for like a year and a half.
He was a hard guy to track down.
Just like calling him left and right, leaving messages, emails. I don't know, what'd you do? Snail mail, sending him letters.
Hidden the bushes.
Hid in the bushes at the guy's house. Hey, Donnie, my name's Dusty, talk to me.
You always seem like an Omar Gooding sort of guy.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't part of any of that business.
See, Jessica Gaines was always my favorite.
Well, Jessica Gaines has a crush on me, so...
I know. That's...
Just lay off, pal.
I understand, and I will step aside.
I'll call her later. We're going to talk to her.
We are going to talk to Jessica Gaines.
Yes.
And Donnie Jeffcoat from Nickelodeon's Wild and Crazy Kids.
It's just like a redhead thing. I have a soft spot for that.
Well, before you get any creepier,
what?
How about we play some wild and crazy tunes?
What, wild and crazy?
And then we will get in touch with Jessica Gaines. What do you say?
I think it sounds beautiful.
It's a wild and crazy night here on the Five Count.
It's a beautiful idea. Let's do it.
Get ready.
this is Donkey Lips from Salute Your Shorts. You know you remember me, remember? And you're listening to The Five Count.
Welcome to Wild and Crazy Kids! The show that goes anywhere and does anything to find kids having fun! With your hosts, Jessica Gaines, Omar Goody, and Donnie Jeffcoat.
Check, check. Checking it.
What are you even checking?
Checking.
Check yourself, pal.
Checking to see if you're on the ball.
Oh, I'm on it.
Are you on the ball?
Yeah, like one of them exercise balls.
Yeah.
I sit on that in here because it's like easier on my back.
Can you feel it in your abs?
Yeah.
Are you currently...
It's like a core workout.
Are you currently clenching?
Clenching?
Clenching.
Yeah, I'm flexing at all times. Didn't you realize this? I flex constantly. You're a clencher.
Are you going to be wild and crazy during this interview?
Yep.
Do you have a wild and crazy t-shirt so I know which team you're on?
Yep.
Well, then we're set.
We are set.
Should we call Jessica Gaines?
Yeah. Are you going to call her Jess or Jessica or Jessie?
We'll see how the interview goes.
Jess. All right.
See what she prefers.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hello, is Jessica Gaines there?
Yes.
Hello, Jessica. This is Dustin Wilmus. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
You sound a little suspicious.
No, I'm not. I'm smiling.
Okay. Well, are you ready to answer a few questions?
Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm here with my co-host, Tun.
Hi, Jessica.
What's
how are you
your
doing?
Name?
Tun. Ton, like 2,000 pounds.
Oh, okay, ton, okay.
Some
Hi,
tonnage.
Nice to meet you.
I'm laying some tonnage onto this conversation. Nice to meet you, Jessica.
He's a big star.
Yeah, don't listen to him.
Well, I've listened to the show on the Five Count on the when I first met Dustin over Facebook internet.
So. Whoa,
there you go.
I just didn't realize that was your name.
What did you have some other idea of what it was?
No, I hadn't really thought about it, but I just didn't realize. I think I maybe thought they said Tom.
Tom. I get tongue a lot, like a tongue.
I also thought that today, but not the other time. So.
Yeah. Well, it can be whatever you want. I mean, tongue, ton, Tom. I'm good.
I'm good, too. Okay.
All right, so if you're ready, we have some questions lined up to ask you.
I am ready.
Awesome. So I guess we'll start by how did you... I guess the basic question, how did you get started in acting?
Okay, well, my parents were actors before I was born. And by the time I was born, they were, my recollection of them as actors was mainly singing, because my dad was on the road with Annie, the Broadway National Touring Company of Annie, till I was five, from 2.5 to 5, so... And my mom is a singer too, so I was always just hearing singing. So that wasn't something that I was old enough to do. But then my dad wound up getting, he found some of his old commercials from the 1950s from some guy that collects commercials, and that guy put them on Beta tape. And then, you know, in the early 80s, and so we watched them on Beta, and I was about 5. And then I thought, I can do that. I want to do that. So then I asked if I could, and my mother said, no, not old enough. You have to wait until you're 6. And then when I was 6, I asked if I could. And then she told my dad, well, she remembered that I said that, so you have to, you know, we have to get her an agent. And then I did go on auditions, and I booked the second audition that I went on, which was Swing Shift, directed by Goldie Hawn, that starred Kurt Russell, and directed by Jonathan Demme, I meant.
Yeah.
That starred Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. That's what I meant. And I played Lisa Pelican's daughter.
Swing Shift is awesome.
Christine Lockie was in that. There were a lot of people in that. Holly Hunter was in that.
You were in that.
A lot of people. I was in that, yeah.
High five.
They cut a lot of my stuff out, but it was really fun to work on. And I definitely got to interact with everybody, especially Jonathan Demme. That was really nice. So
then how did...
I did a commercial, yeah.
I was going to say, how did you transition then from, like, Swing Shift over to Nickelodeon? How did that end up taking place?
Well, I mean, in general, I mean, I did take a break for a while, but that wouldn't be the reason why. You transition by whatever somebody hires you for. You go on auditions, that, you know what I mean? Like, they send you out on a...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was an agent for a while as a kid, too. So when I was a kid, not when he was a kid. Boy, I can't talk today. My dad was an agent for a while when I was a kid, after he'd had a car accident, and then he stopped working as an actor. So he already knew, you know, he knew both sides of the business at that point, and he took me to a kid's agent. He took me to Mary Grady. That was a very, I think the business is still around, but I think Mary Grady retired, but was a very well-known child's agent at the time. And then you transition because they send you out on whatever you're right for when they read the breakdown to agents, and, hopefully you get called back. And then I was 14 by the time I got to Nickelodeon. I mean, I did commercials for a few years after I did Swing Shift, and then I stopped completely going on auditions from age 8 to age 14 or age 13 because I just didn't want to do it anymore. It wasn't fun, and I wasn't enjoying myself. And then so I didn't even have any plan to go back. But, you know, like anything, just like the reason I wanted to start, I don't remember exactly what I saw around 13, but something I saw sparked me and sparked my interest again and made me want to go back out on auditions. And I think if you want to go, you're a lot more likely to book something than if you don't want to be there. I mean, that's common sense, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, just like anything in life. So you ended up auditioning with Nickelodeon. Was it right away you auditioned for The Wild and Crazy Kids, or...?
When I started going out on auditions again, yeah, it was one of the first, if not the first, auditions that I went back out on, yeah.
So then you ended up replacing Annette Chavez in Wild and Crazy Kids. What's, is there any story behind that, or?
Well, at the time I had no idea. You know, I was a kid and I'd been watching Nickelodeon, so I had seen the show, the first season of it already.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going to the audition with my dad and telling my dad, this doesn't make sense. Why are they casting this? They already have a girl. And my dad said, well, maybe they want another girl. And then my dad had never seen, meaning an added girl, like four people to host it, right? And then my dad had never seen the show because he's an adult. So I said, no, it's set up. The show is set up to have only three people hosting the show. You know, so I was confused. You know, I wasn't sure why I was there, why they were, what they were doing and what their intention was. They brought me back a whole bunch of times. They brought everybody back a whole bunch of times, and then all girls. And then they made us sign, you know, like a screen test contract on the final audition, and then that was it. And then I think a couple weeks, maybe about a month later, then they all, you know, booked me, and I was surprised. And then they immediately had us go do the first episode. Well, first we went and signed the contract, and I met the boys that day, and there was never any mention of why I was replacing anybody or anything like that. Nobody was going to ask Woody Fraser that, because that's a question. It's just, you know, you don't ask Woody that, meaning it's just, he doesn't want to bring it up, you're not going to ask. So I never really knew. And then there was a lot of hush conversation about speculation. Nobody really knew what was going on, and that was it. So,
wow.
But then I did two seasons, and it was really fun. And yeah.
Tell us a bit about the filming. Do you have any favorite memories or stories from when you were on the show?
Yeah, I mean, favorite? I mean, every episode, I really enjoyed doing it. I would say that every episode I really savored the memory of. Like, it was really fun. It was also a lot of work, like hard work, and I was young, and I had to memorize a lot and be professional, of course, but I wanted to be there, so that wasn't difficult. And then, I don't know. I mean, I didn't like getting messy. That's the one thing I do recall not liking, but I didn't like it at all, but of course I had to do that when they wrote it in. But I really just enjoyed the whole, I mean, I guess it's, you know, you would think I'd enjoy the games themselves, but I really enjoyed the acting aspect of it. So that was what I really was into, like enjoying, you know. It just happened to be a show that where they played games. So, and I was a kid that liked to play games at home anyway, but, you know, that wasn't exactly why I was there. So you know what I mean?
Yeah, interesting. So then you ended up, you went from Wild and Crazy Kids over to Salute Your Shorts, is that right? Or
no, some of the cast members were on the show.
Oh, they were on the show.
Yeah, they did an episode as guests, because the second season of the show, we started having all of these celebrity kids from different shows, like network television shows, even, you know, different movies. Like Tobey Maguire was on one episode before he did Spider-Man, and back in the day with what's that show? What was that show called? Home Improvement, maybe, I think. Jonathan Taylor Thomas was on the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, and Ashley Johnson from Growing Pains. I'm trying to think. There were a lot of... Oh, we had, like, at Raging Waters, we had, like, every, like, this group of celebrity kids, like Danny Pintaro, and he was from Who's the Boss, and Josie, I think her last name is Davis. She was from Charles in Charge, and so we just started doing all celebrity kids, and then we would introduce... What was it, Brandon Call from Step by Step? We would have them all come. Every time they're on the show, we make them be the focal point of the show, and they have to earn the T-shirt. And then, so we did that with Salute Your Shorts, and they came, and we made it a, you know. That was the only time we did a show with a Nickelodeon TV show celebrity guest, you know, coming on. Yeah. I mean, several of them, but, yeah.
Well, when you were working for Nickelodeon, behind the scenes, were you ever hanging out with casts from other shows, or was it more just a separate thing?
We did do that, but it wasn't really hanging out. It was promotional tours that they sent us on.
Okay.
Separately. I went one time with Omar. Every other time I went by myself, and I think the other two boys went by themselves, and then they would pair you up with other people. Like, we were sent, I went with... I did some shows with Phil Moore from, I can't remember the name of the show that he did anymore, but it's, I think.
Nick Arcade, was that it?
That might be it, yeah. Yeah. Then Michael Malley, I did a lot of them with him. And they would send us out of state, and we would do, even Christine Taylor they one time sent, but she didn't do the actual hosting of the game. But Michael Malley and I would do the hosting of the game. They would send us to like Six Flags. I mean, so it was work, and they were paying us and everything, but... We're still interacting with them, and otherwise wouldn't have been. So that's how I know Michael Malley. That's how I know Phil Moore. So,
yeah.
But other than that, no, not a lot of socializing, except for when we separately from Nickelodeon were nominated and awarded this Youth in Film Award, where all these different kid actors from all these different everything, you know, TV movies were also nominated. And so then you go to this big, you know, event for that, and then that's when you wind up seeing people that, like, I remember Melissa Joan Hart was there that time, so, you know, otherwise, no, I never met her any other time other than that. The Kids' Choice Awards, too, I guess I did meet some people there when they had us go and read award nominations for that.
Okay. Well, we noticed that you were recently at a Comic-Con with the rest of the cast from Wild and Crazy Kids.
Right.
Are you surprised at all by kind of the recent popularity with these 90s Nickelodeon shows? I mean, it's kind of coming back into...
I guess I've had a couple of years to realize that it was going this direction, because I think when I was still on MySpace, which I don't have a MySpace account anymore, I was getting emails from kids that are now adults, you know, but they were even younger than they are now. So they were like early 20s, you know, at the time. And they were asking me how... one of them was even asking me in this group message, I can't remember his name, I wish I could, but this kid had sent me, I think his name was like Patrick or something, he had sent me this email with all these other people tagged into the message saying, we want you to go to Nickelodeon and ask them to replay your shows, put them back on the air. And I said, well, Nickelodeon is not going to listen to me if I say that, you know. And he was like, well, then how can we get this done? And then I said, well, if you want to, my only suggestion, if you want to get it done, is to contact them yourself, because they're not going to listen to me because I'm not an audience member. They don't care what, you know, I don't have any weight. That had happened, that conversation. And then, I mean, this was like a back and forth conversation where this kid was like pleading with me to like go to Nickelodeon. And then I was like, I wrote this whole email to him, like, he was like, what should I do? So I gave him like pointers. Like, I think you should go to the network and, or not go physically, but, you know, contact the network and da 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 da, but don't mention me because that's going to make it not happen for sure. You know, but I mean, it was never my idea to do it, but that was just, you know, I was just giving them guidelines to how to approach. And then a couple years down the line, I start getting all these emails on Facebook just from people asking if they could. I mean, some of them were just, you know, saying, oh, I like your show, you know, can you add me? And that was nice, you know, and that was fine. And then I started getting some emails that said, can I interview you for something? I'm a journalism major in college, blah, blah, blah. And so then I did that. I did a couple of those. And then I found out when Donnie had contacted me last year that there was a guy writing the book that's now, you know, the book, I guess, Matthew Quickstein, I guess it's called Slimes or Unslimes. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think I've seen a mention of it, yeah.
And it's Penguin Publishers, or a subsidiary of Penguin Publishers that's coming out in the fall of 2013. And he was interviewing everybody that was a part of 90s Nickelodeon and 80s Nickelodeon and that groundbreaking time in cable television, not network. And so then I did a phone interview with him, and then that was, and I had already heard from Devin Whitehead about the Kamikaze, so I already knew that was supposed to be happening in September, and then it all just kind of wound up happening all around the same time, and then I think, so anyway, am I surprised? No, because I saw, yes and no. That's the best answer I can give you. I don't know. I guess that was such a long-winded answer. You're probably like, that's not what we asked you. But
it's fine.
But that was my answer. No, I'm not that surprised. I mean, I don't know. I always wondered like when like kids that grew up were finally going to be like, I remember that show, you know, because of course it's going to happen. So and it does, you know, sometimes like people, if that, you know, it mainly happens if I hand somebody my credit card and they see my name to go pay, then they go, I think I know you, right? Because obviously I have red hair and my name is Jessica Gaines, so it's kind of a given at that point. You're like, oh, I obviously know who you are. So that's pretty much, am I surprised?
Awesome.
No. am I a little surprised? No, I guess I'm pleasantly surprised. That's what I would say. I'm
there
pleasantly pleased. It's nice, you know?
So is it safe to say then you're comfortable with being known as the person from Wild and Crazy Kids? Some people kind of try to forget about stuff they did as kids. Or are you cool with that?
Well, I'm fine with it now, yeah. I think, you know, it's a shame that I ever had an issue with it. And at Kamikaze, I wish they'd played the entire panel instead of cutting it up. I'm not sure why they did that, but they cut it up into these brief things that didn't actually show everything I said. So they made it look like I had this unresolved issue about being known or watched on the show, and that wasn't what I said. What I said, you know, and it's unfortunate that I'm not sure why somebody cut my words and made it appear that I had an emotional issue about it I don't have, because it was actually a very funny segment where I was explaining that, you know, 15 years ago, when I was just, you know, dating, having my first boyfriend, I was, you know, 20, and I mean, I really didn't even date before then, like, you know, other than like high school dating, you know. So it was my, you know, my first adult relationship. And this guy would watch the shows I was on every day, and I would be embarrassed because he would be like, today, while you were gone, because I would, you know, be going on auditions or whatever, and he was working out of his house, and he was like, today, while you were gone, the episode was the one where you have chocolate all over your face. And it was like this ridiculous, embarrassing one. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you watched me on that. And so then I banned him from watching it because I was, you know, so young. I was just like, I just didn't want him watching that. I felt like embarrassed. But, you know, but it was something that was a short-lived issue. And it was just, you know, meaning like with a boyfriend, not with friends. It was with my boyfriend at the time that I felt uncomfortable.
Sure.
So, because I really looked, you know, silly, doing a lot of silly things. They would, you know, and I was a little, you know, very young. I looked different at that point. So, but it was never a big issue, actually. I mean, people used to recognize me all the time anyway at that age because I didn't look that different. And I was just more embarrassed about what I was doing in it that I didn't want him to watch. But it was the only what I didn't want him to watch, not everybody. I mean, I even had it on my reel when I went on auditions. I had, you know, clips from the show on my acting, you know, real thing, because it was work I had done and I did a lot of episodes. So I never had the big issue that they portrayed in that Kamikaze, and I'm not sure what that was about. So there you go.
Well, we got the true story here then.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
Well, what other projects are you up to nowadays, or what kind of stuff are you working on?
Well, you know, I stopped going on auditions. This is my third time in my life of stopping. Like, I stopped after Wild and Crazy Kids. I stopped another time. That was my second time for a couple of years, for about four or five years. And then this time I've stopped for a little bit longer than that, but not much longer. And I don't know if I'm going to go back. But if I do, it's certainly something, I mean, for anybody, like, nobody has to stop forever. You know, you can take breaks, you can go back. Even my dad went back and did an episode of Cheers after he hadn't worked as an actor for, like, you know, 20 years. So
sure,
it's something that, as long as you're, you know, once you get the hard part out, which out of the way, which is joining SAG, then you've really paved the way to, like, you can go on auditions. It's not a big deal, because a lot of people can't even get the agents to send them out because they're not SAG yet, and right. That's barring them from doing union work, so, which is like a catch-22. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's how it is. So I don't know. I've been running my dad's theater up until 3 years ago, and my parents moved back to New York. They have equity waiver theaters in L.A., so, which, you know what those are? Probably not, but I don't know. They're just small, like, rental theaters, like 99 feet and under, that people rent.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah, they're still equity union theaters. It's like where people do their own productions, and people also rent them for acting classes and whatever. So it's like a rental space, and, you know, and my dad's doing the same thing in New York, so I haven't visited them yet over there. Can you believe that? I haven't visited my parents in New York yet, but my dad keeps saying, you know, come out here and I'll show you how to run this one too, so that, you know, eventually, you know, as my parents are getting older, that, God forbid, that, you know, eventually, though, my dad's like, don't lose the, you know, this is a great, you know, thing for you to take over when, you know, when I'm not here someday. So that's kind of in the close, you know, near back of my head. Like, that's sure. really where I'm, that's like, you know, the focus right now. But that's it.
Well, awesome.
Awesome.
You know, taking over that business is like, I guess, I don't know, just, I'm already doing that over here, and then I grew up with my parents always having theater, so it's something I understand how to do. So
sure. It's the natural progression of things.
Right. You know, you take over your parents' business if it's something you want to do or like doing and understand how to do, and you can still go on commercial auditions sometimes when you want to start doing that again, and then make some extra money. That's the great thing about how you can always go back to acting.
Awesome. Well, we got to say, we're big fans of Wild and Crazy Kids, and we appreciate you coming on with us today. Do you have any final words you want to leave us with?
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. Okay, you guys, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, so I'll talk to you guys soon, meaning hear from you on Facebook.
Okay, sounds good.
All right,
okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right, yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was wild.
And crazy.
That was wild and crazy.
That was awesome. She was wild and crazy.
She was excited to be on this program.
Well, she likes me.
Who could blame her? How about being on the program?
Nobody. I liked her.
That was Jessica Gaines.
She has a cute voice.
She was from Wild and Crazy Kids.
And from what I can tell, a cute face.
Just take it easy
over
there.
She's a nice gal.
Well, let me tell you something. Here on the five count,
mm-hmm.
The wildness and craziness
continues
with our soon-to-be BFF, Donnie Jeffcoat.
Finally, you and Donnie have joined forces on the five count.
He was a hard man to track down.
Oh, man.
And he has a black belt, so you don't really want to pester him too much because he might punch a hole through you.
I'm not messing around here. I will just focus on Jesse. You can have Donnie.
All right. Well.
What are we calling him?
Is he
calling us?
Let's play some more wild and crazy music.
I love that music. What happened? It's like there's like guitar solos don't even exist anymore.
That was the 90s, man.
My entire childhood, everything, guitar solos everywhere. Yes, please play it many more times.
In the meantime, I'd like to remind you that you can find all sorts of wildness and craziness on our website at thefivecount.com. Think about that. Think about it.
Think about it.
Let's play another wild and crazy song, and then we will call Donnie Jeffcoat.
Awesome.
A lot of rappers are whack, they cold booty from the butt crack. Swinging skills to chill, that's how I pay the bill. Funk blaster, tweaking bass like I'm Jimmy Castor. Model H3OC plus another thousand. Kicking lyrics for ASCAP, brothers I be housing. Written, publishing, gaining points, rapping back again. My unique style, inserting words, watch me make them blend. Manifest bandwidth spread out with computer data. Suckers don't know IQ intelligence, what's the matter? Solo fiend, I cut your legs with the guillotine. Snap back, rip your tinsel props in your paperback. Getting records, doing jobs like I'm Dr. Giggle. Serving them well, I stop the anals up with pickles. With operation to give the room an atmosphere. Cyclops will walk, Frankenstein still standing here. Watch the hand off the ground, chillin'. It's wild and crazy. The moon is out, tonight it's time for a spin. It's wild and crazy. A fetus in the jar, I got the little baby. It's wild and crazy. To a drop, still dark, my flashlight hunting suit right in front of your building with live beard every year. Taking horns from moose and wild bulls and capricorns. I got your face in the frame inside the living room while kids watch 13. I'm in the back scoping zoom. Sesame Street, you play that beat? I'ma step to Pete with nuclear bombs and word to mom, I'ma blow his arm. Six shot rhyme, my 44s made my charter arms. I put some diss in the steps and damage all your reps. Get off the hooks and find your style like Bernadette Getz. What's the matter? Keep you scared? Come and do the bit. It makes a damage, it takes your nervous different ways. I open cell block C, go battle Mr. Silly. I don't see nothing, I think they raped the rapper really. It's wild and crazy.
The moon is out, that's time for spring.
It's wild and crazy.
A fetus in the jar, I got the little baby.
It's wild and crazy.
The moon is out, that's time for spring.
It's wild and crazy.
A fetus in the jar, I got the little baby.
Hold your pit bull back, let's bet some money on the elevator. Your dog is bound to lose and have a funeral. You can call landlords and checks on my rent checks. My man is back, your project people better watch it next. Spitting flim flam, rappers still smoking crack. Suckers get panty line and spots on their honey crack. I do much work on heavy stomachs like the vert. Put up some money, I bet my tools will make your rectum hurt. Black exposure free, you don't wanna mess with me. I sit in your girl's box and cover your publicity. Sequence first and drop the facts on that. It's wild and crazy.
The moon is up, tonight it's time for experiment.
It's wild and crazy.
A fetus in the jar, I got the little baby.
It's wild and crazy.
The moon is up, tonight it's time for experiment.
It's wild and crazy.
A fetus in the jar, I got the little baby.
Thank you. Hey, Blowhold. This is David Zambrilli, a.k.a. Little T. To the thank you to Five Towns.
Welcome to Wild and Crazy Kids, the show that goes anywhere and does anything to find kids having fun. With your hosts, Jessica Gaines, Omar Gooding, and Donnie Jeffco.
You can't handle it, man.
I can't handle it. Hey, let's call Donnie Jeffcoat.
All right. Think he'll be there? He probably doesn't want to talk to you. He's not going to answer.
Oh, he better answer, because I'm wild and crazy.
This is Donnie.
Hey, Donnie, this is Dustin Wilmus from KMSU Radio.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you living?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good, man. Do you have a clear connection with me right now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, everything sounds good.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll get started here then. First of all, I'm here with my co-host, Tun.
Hey there, Donnie. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Glad to get a hold of you here.
Yes, it's been a little crazy. I'm juggling, you know. I still do auditions and such for acting, but I'm also, you know, an owner of a martial arts or self-defense school. And so that takes 40-plus hours a week from me, you know, so
yeah,
I'm bouncing all over the place, guys.
Well, we'll get into that. If you're ready, we'll ask you some questions.
Yeah, let's get into it, man. That's cool.
Well, how did you originally get started in acting?
You know, I started in plays, basically. I mean, it was kind of a fluke. I was a kid in Oklahoma, and there was a call out for kids to do this play and such, and so somehow, I don't know, somebody talked me into auditioning, and I did, and got into it, and it was a cool experience, and I enjoyed kind of the of course the acting and the camaraderie that you build with cast and stuff. So I guess that's where I found the addiction. And then once the family moved to California for my dad's business, and I started doing plays like regional theaters and such around the area. I got into South Coast Repertory, which is a fairly respected union-based theater in Orange County. And I got scouted by, just happened to be one of the better, or probably one of the best children's agents in the industry. And I ended up doing, you know, Wonder Years and movies and commercials and Who's the Boss and all the little ladies shows, and just really never stopped working for about 17, 18 years, just kind of rolled one job into the next and got very lucky, blessed with that. So that's the small, I guess, abridged version.
Yeah, it seems like you showed up on most of the staples there in the 80s and early 90s, and you did some interesting horror films, too. I know you were in Ghoulies and Night of the Demons was...
Oh, yeah, quality filmmaking at its best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had, you know, I tell you, I look back and I had some great experiences, really fun career, there's so many stories that I could get into just from just the unique experiences at that age, you know, going to Italy to film Ghoulies 2 and just, you know, working on all the shows with all the different actors, and so it was a blast. The industry was much smaller back then, so it's been very interesting for me as an 80s kid to watch the industry change and evolve into what it is today, which is actually why I went ahead and started kind of, I don't like to call it a backup plan, but started, found something else that I really enjoyed doing, because spending so many years as a child actor and such, the work is awesome, but in between audition process and stuff, just, and you talk about anxiety levels.
Yeah.
You're just constantly, you know, you picture yourself finding a great job, loving it, working at it for 3 months, the job ends, and the next thing you know, you have to go right back to the drawing board. It's a constant revolving door process, and it takes a lot of tenacity. And doing it for so many years, I got to a point in my late 20s where I was just like, okay, I'm a little burnt out. I need to find something that's going to provide me with something I can rely upon for a family and for a future, and then put acting into kind of more of a enjoyment stage again, that hobby stage. So that's kind of what I've been doing over the last 5 years or so, although I still love the hell out of it and enjoy the process when you finally get a job, you know. But
sure.
That's why I kind of transitioned into the martial arts as well.
Well, before we get too far ahead, can you tell us a little bit about how you wound up working on Wild and Crazy Kids?
Sure. I was jumping from show to show and film to film, and I actually originally was asked to go and screen test for the Mickey Mouse Club. So, in fact, a lot of those kids are still my close friends. You know, I made some good friends down in Florida when I had went down and screen test for that, and then met back up with some of them after they did the show of Mickey Mouse Club when I was on Nickelodeon. We all used to hang out in our early 20s, so that was a unique experience. I didn't book it, and when I got back to California, I remember not too long after, I ended up getting an audition for Nickelodeon and hosting, and that just ended up happening. You know, they liked us. We went through about a 2-3 audition process. I remember me and Omar and Annette. And once they kind of found the cast, we started rolling. It just kind of fell into my lap and it went from there. And 6 years later, I finally left the Nickelodeon world. I think we had 60-something episodes. I can't remember the number, but it was about a 3-season process from my freshman year in high school through my senior year. And then when I graduated high school in 93, Nickelodeon started taking us on live tours around the country. And then eventually we ended up in Brunei randomly because the Sultan, I believe it was his 4-year-old niece, was having a birthday party, and I guess she wanted me in the show for her gift, and that's what she got.
Wow.
So, yeah, they ended up flying us out there. That was interesting. But we traveled all over the country, including Alaska, Hawaii. It was phenomenal. That was in my late teens, early 20s. And then finally when I was 21, they had me on a show called Mega Messamania. It was another live Nick show. And I was hosting with Michael Malley and Phil Moore and Brian Stintz and a few other guest hosts. And that was a blast. It was a whole different kind of, I guess, what would you call it? Like a mush of just a bunch of Nickelodeon variety shows. You know, they had Ren and Stimpy as a part of the cast and all kinds of other characters. But I finally got burnt out, I think, at 21, and then ended up, I think, on a couple other shows and ended up doing Seventh Heaven for a while and moving out to New York and doing One Life to Live, and then moved back here in 2002. So that's it.
Yeah, we just we spoke with Jessica Gaines before before we had you on the phone. Yeah, and she was talking about kind of the same stuff where you guys toured around a lot. And
yeah, it was an interesting lifestyle. I mean, and we both look back as kids. It was Nickelodeon was going through, I mean, they're far more structured now. It was brand new for them to have an on, what do you call it, like out-of-studio production, you know, something on location, shooting, you know, as much as we did. There was a lot of challenges involved. You know, we had kid wranglers basically going from schools to, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and such to wrangle up the kids in the neighborhood, and it was quite chaotic on set quite often. And then the tour itself was a whole different experience because it really put us in front of the audience. And, you know, we weren't really aware of how big that show was. And what's funny is after we stopped filming it, Nickelodeon took it on air, you know, for reruns and bought it for several years afterwards for reruns and such. They picked it up every year. And we actually got bigger, I think, after a couple of years after we actually finished filming all the episodes, the fan base grew, you know, and it kept on obviously filtering through to the younger people as well. So we still have fans who are in their early 30s now. And it was quite surprising, I think, once we were on the road looking out to the audiences and how many fans we did accumulate over the years. And Nickelodeon kind of kept us, I think, our ears closed to that because I never received any fan mail over the years. And I know there was tons because Omar's mom, I believe, if I remember right, found it, a huge box of it in the offices one day, and she was, I think, rather annoyed that we weren't exposed to that so that we could actually answer our email to our fans.
Wow.
Or not our email, not at that time, but our fan mail. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting how all that progressed. So
I know you kind of mentioned previously, you know, you've been in a lot of different things, The One Life to Live and Seventh Heaven and, you know, all those movies and stuff. And then The Wild and Crazy Kids, of course. Would you say you're most recognized, or which one would you say you're most recognized for?
These days, it would be probably in this order, would be Wish Upon a Star and Wild and Crazy Kids almost equally. And that's Wish Upon a Star was a Disney film I did with Katherine Heigl years ago during the same time of when I first got off of Wild and Crazy Kids. So those both accumulated quite a fan base. And then One Life to Live would be down the line. So those three are the top projects that I've gotten recognized from randomly, you know, Seventh Heaven and such like that. But those were the three main ones that I still have people coming up and saying, oh, a lot of times people just come up and say, do I know you, or do we go to high school together? And my answer is usually, yeah, we went to kindergarten together.
That's awesome.
No, I'm usually fairly honest with it. But, yeah, it's still funny, though. People a lot of times, because, I mean, you know, I've accumulated some grays over the years as well. So it's not the same blonde-haired kid on the show.
So you mentioned you've got this martial arts studio open here. Tell us a little bit about that, how you kind of, like, what's your background in there, or how did that happen?
I started martial arts around the same year I began acting, and I just started training locally in Irvine, and it kind of became a big part of my life throughout my childhood and such. And then, you know, I was off and on as far as being a practitioner. I was on the road a lot with, you know, coming up to Los Angeles filming and you know, around the country and such. So I was on and off for many years, but altogether I've been in it for about 27 years. I started in an art form called Shaolin Kempo, and then once I moved back from New York, I trained a little bit in Kung Fu in downtown New York. Took a couple other classes throughout my childhood in other art forms, but pretty much stuck to Kempo. When I moved back here back in 2002, I immediately went back to a Kempo school in my neighborhood out in the valley here and started studying rigorously because I wanted to get my black belt, which I was a brown belt for 15 years. So it was time to really kind of push forward with that, and I started enjoying teaching on the side, you know, just kind of volunteer teaching. And they had an opening at the dojo, and I started teaching a little more full-time, which was obviously intertwined with my auditions. And you know, I was doing guest stars and stuff throughout the last 8 years, you know, of my life. So they were very cool with that. They let me in and out, and that was working well with my, you know, still with my love for acting and such. And then I got a little more serious in it. Once I became a black belt and really started studying the art, I fell in love with teaching to the point where kind of started taking priority over the acting, and I started feeling a transition come. And I decided after about 4 or 5 years of teaching in this one facility here in my neighborhood, I needed to go ahead and break away and start my own company. And so I took the leap, and I had some incredibly faithful and loyal students, so they trusted me and followed me to my school, and it has just been an amazing success since, and very lucky, and again blessed with a great job. I go to work barefoot and in pretty much pajamas every day. So you know, it's kind of cool, and that's how I started in that, and I just got very lucky. Like I said, I really enjoyed the teaching, and I'm very passionate about what I do. Now I'm actually teaching American Kempo, which is the American Kempo system. Originally created from the Ed Parker system, and I work with Grandmaster Larry Tatum once a week. He's still expanding my mind and skills in the American Kempo world, and I've blended a little bit of the Shaolin Kempo and Kung Fu into my school, which kind of keeps it traditional, and I think it's very important to understand classical motion with practical, but primarily my school is about self-defense, so we're pretty open-minded when it comes to style. If it works, awesome. If it doesn't, we if it's a Kempo technique or a self-defense technique, we don't teach it. So that's kind of how I grew my little foundation now. I have a self-defense academy. So.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I mean, you said you were doing some auditions and stuff. Are there any other upcoming projects you're working on or anything in the future?
you know, at this moment, I just had a World War II film called Fortress release out on Redbox. I think they're in Walmart now and on demand. I know those guys are still pushing it out there, the producers. I went to a barbecue with them a couple weeks ago, and they were saying how they're working on some other projects and such. So I'm not really sure where that's going to go, but it's already hit the shelves, and these guys are still active. They're doing another war film coming up soon. I did a kind of a sketch for a pilot. It was like a short film called Hochfeld with Richard Portnow and Bobby Costanza, Jeff Mead, and that was last summer. And my friend Barry produced that. He's still, I think, working on that, pushing it out there. We got some good reviews. And just kind of hitting the auditions. I've slowed down a lot, though. So I really consider myself a martial arts instructor these days and a school owner. And on the side, I would say my side job would be acting now. It's definitely not the number one anymore. And it might. I have a feeling in a few years, once I get a break, maybe even less than that, a year or two, I might switch around and get real serious about it again. But at this point, I'm extremely happy and satisfied. And it's been a nice vacation from that lifestyle, you know. And when you work in the industry for as long as I did, and like I said, I look back and I'm so happy with those wonderful experiences. But I'm pretty content right now with my journey.
Yeah. Well, we want to say we're glad that we got you on the show today, and thanks for letting us ask you a few questions.
No worries, brother. I appreciate the time. It's nice to talk occasionally about this stuff, reminisce.
All right, cool. Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, brothers. You guys take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Adios.
That is something.
That was awesome.
That was Donnie Jeffcoat.
That was Mr. Jeffcoat.
And this has been The Five Count.
That was a pretty wild and crazy show right there.
That was a beautiful thing that I think a lot of people out there probably appreciated. Because we go above and beyond to hunt down all of your childhood crushes and find out what they're up to.
We're giving the people what they want, Dust.
That's right. And here is something extra special.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you longtime listeners out there know that usually around this time of year, St. Valentine's Day, that the station KMSU, which the Five Count originates from, they like to simulcast some guys from some other station playing Trivial Pursuit for 49 hours in a row.
Yeah, they usually do that.
It's very romantic. Lots of people probably get lucky with that on in the background.
Sure.
I can't see how that doesn't work out.
I don't know, man.
But somehow this year, it's not going on. So do you know what that means?
Pulled some strings.
Do you know what that means?
We now get, finally, a special Valentine's Day show.
It's going to be a love show about love.
Yes!
And who else but to have a love show? People that you love. People that know love. People who are love.
That's me.
Ton. And the Five Count. That is a lovely thing.
Yes.
We have been denied for at least 3 or 4 years in a row, but
so,
this year, the love hits the fan.
Hopefully. Hopefully, right? I mean, there's still a possibility that Gully could be like, you know what? I think we're going to do this.
Nope.
You can't?
You know why?
Why?
Because we don't love them hoes. We're out the dough. That's why.
Awesome. All right, so special love show. Love edition of the Five Count next week. I highly suggest that you take yourself over to your personal computation device and log yourself on to the worldwide interwebs and go to www.thefivecount.com. You should go there right now and check out everything because it's awesome. But more importantly, tomorrow in the middle of the day, if you want to re-listen to the show that you heard tonight, you can do that. Middle of the week next week, check back on the site. We will have it updated, talking about the fantastic things that we're going to do next Saturday. Beautiful love show on the Five Count. Also, don't forget to go to SaveTheCrumbs.com, your local zine here in Mankato. There's a new edition out. It's fantastic. Check it out.
And when he says new edition, he means extra Bobby Brown.
Yes.
In this latest issue.
That is exactly what I mean.
That is amazing. Here's the True Punks, Dude Cello.
Here is the True Punks.
They have harp music.
Beautiful evening. It's been wild and crazy. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you to Jessica Gaines and Donnie Jeffcoat.
I'll see you guys next week.
It's possible a couple years down the road, we could have Annette Chavez and Omar Gooding. Who knows?
I would love that.
But in the meantime, here's the True Punks. They're playing harps.
It's going to be beautiful.
And don't forget, next Saturday at 11 o'clock, celebrate Valentine's Day with your favorite resident hunks, the Five Count. See ya.
See ya.